Jesus Christ. A circus, screaming man, this beautiful creature must die. This beautiful creature must die. A death for no reason, and death for no reason is murder. And the flesh you so fancifully fried is not succulent, tasty or kind. It's death for no reason.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And yours was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Royce.
You say God,
give me a choice.
Say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
What I wanna do is fly.
I want to ride my
bicycle. Races are coming your way.
So forget all your duties, oh yeah.
Run for them girls, they'll be riding today.
So look out for those beauties, oh yeah.
On your marks, get set, go!
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Welcome to You Talking to Me, the first You Talking to Me show on CJM, and I'll be getting situated over the next few weeks, so you can bear with me on that a little bit, and I want to give a happy birthday wish out to Reno Perlin. He not only hooked me up with today's guest on the show, but Reno Perlin will be on a future You Talking to Me show, and also have Lana in the studio here from the Jeff and Lana Show podcast.
Hello.
You can say that a little louder, maybe.
Hello, everybody.
All right, she's back there in the background, and... Anyway, in the studio here, nice to see her hanging around. And now we can get into today's show. My guest this week is adventure cyclist Brian Parrish. Brian is a native of the Windsor area and University of Windsor alumnus. He's now living in South Korea and is preparing to embark on an incredible expedition that he simply calls One Arctic to Argentina 2012. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Big JD. I appreciate it.
All right. Brian, is your home now is in Gangneung. Am I pronouncing that properly? Northern?
Close. It's it's Gangneung.
Gangneung. Okay, a bunch of G's in there. And that's the northernmost province of South Korea. Am I right there?
Right, right. Yeah. It's the north. I'm up in the northeast corner of South Korea.
Okay. And how long have you been out there?
I've been here. Actually, I left Windsor. I was in Windsor visiting back in November of 2006.
Oh, okay.
So I've been here straight through. I haven't been back yet. Only on the telephone.
Okay, like right now. So this is your most recent trip,
I've been on a six. It's going to be a 6-year mission here.
A 6-year mission. Okay, yeah.
In that time, I've had two children, and I've been married to a South Korean for actually the last 7 years. We just celebrated our anniversary. So
congratulations.
Yeah, I've been. Cycling and preparing for some big rides in the future, and the expedition is obviously my target.
And that's our focus on the show today as well. You're teaching out there though, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm an English teacher. I'm currently a full-time lecturer at a private university here in Gangneung. So I teach to freshmen, junior, and sophomore students, and some of them are English majors, some of them are other majors. It's not a job I would pick up in Windsor.
yeah.
I wouldn't be doing this at the University of Windsor, but I am doing it here in Korea.
All right. And speaking of Windsor, actually, you're a Windsor native or LaSalle, actually?
Actually LaSalle.
Yeah.
I grew up right off of between Matchett and Malden.
Okay.
And off of Sprucewood.
And as I mentioned, a University of Windsor alumnus. So
right. I graduated in 1997 with my degree in communication studies.
Yeah, you're no stranger to the university and as well to CJAM here. Tell me about that. You had a radio show, right?
CJAM 91.5 Windsor, Detroit. I'm Brian P., the host of the No Limit Show. Yeah, I still have my my early morning radio voice. Yeah,
except
I had a world radio. Show and I played all kinds of eclectic music from around the world, and had some guests come in and we did some live jams and fun stuff. So yeah, I have some history with CJAM as well. So it's a great honor to be on the show and
hey,
and
same for me.
Your new program.
Same for me. This is the first You Talking to Me show live and on CJAM, and which is actually 99.1 FM now. They're moving.
Oh, right, yeah. They lost a few digits, eh?
Yeah.
Does that mean we're 0.4 frequencies stronger than we were before?
Definitely stronger. Stronger than it was? Better than it was? No, CJM's always been cool. So let's talk a little bit about sports and athletics. Were you, a sports-minded athletic as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, just for informally, a lot of the stuff I did was, I think, the same as most kids that grew up in LaSalle, just riding BMX bikes and, I mean, any type of bike. I think I had some pseudo motorcycle bikes that I used to ride, jumping ramps. And
oh, okay. I was just going to say, were you into some trick riding and stuff like that?
Right. And then basically, later in my teens, it developed. I bought a secondhand road bike. Actually, it was a Mancini. And then that's what I got started on with Kubota Velo Club, and I rode with them for a couple of years. And I think that's really where I built a strong foundation for doing touring and training and proper racing. And then later I joined up with Maple Leaf Cycling Club. And that was, this is going back to like 1992. I was with Maple Leaf. So it's 2010. I'm the only official international member of the club, but I got my kit and all my cycling clothes, and so I've been training in uniform, but I plan on promoting the club when I'm also on the expedition. So
right on. Yeah, and
it's a nice link to Windsor.
Yeah, definitely. And as well, you were into some motorcycling and some motorcycling expeditions as well, too, were you not?
Right. Actually, my second year at Windsor, when I was studying, 1993, I actually went up to Quetico Provincial Park, and I guided canoe tours up there. And that was from training in Turkey Creek. So for people that are familiar with the LaSalle area, it was rated one of the, I think, the most polluted river in southwestern Ontario, but it's since been cleaned. But I used to paddle up and down that creek, and I actually had that limited experience, and I went up and I guided groups of 21 high school students from the States, and I took them through Boundary Waters Park. And so, I did that in 1993, and then 1994, retired from canoeing, and then I bought a street bike, Suzuki, and basically took off. I just had some tips from some friends. They just said, well, if you get tired, sleep on the side of the road, and you know, you can pitch a tent if you need one. And basically, I never pitched the tent. I just slept outside, and then 3.5 days later, I was in Vancouver. So that was the beginning of five motorcycle trips, and then one pickup truck road trip, and then a Jeep I took around the United States. So on the motorcycle, I accumulated, actually, probably because it was so cold, I just kept getting up, riding, and riding. And so I accumulated about 24,000 kilometers in 60 days on the motorcycle. So that was between 1994 and 1998.
Wow, definitely.
So crisscross the United States. I've been all over. And it was it's really exciting solo and having a motorcycle. But these days, I'm turning green. I should say.
Yeah.
And I want to support something a little more environmentally friendly, and also just the cost of traveling long distances. It's another consideration. So I've switched to bicycles. I've gone back to the original method, and that's how I'll be cycling from the Canadian Arctic all the way down to the bottom of Patagonia in Argentina.
So was it primarily, you know, the fact of going green, or like what kind of switched you over from motorcycling to bicycling for the most part?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I think it's probably living in East Asia. I've lived for a year near Hong Kong. I was in Shenzhen 7 years ago. I actually did the same job. I was lecturing at a university. And running an eBay business, of course. If you live in China, make sure you run a business on eBay. You can make some good money.
I don't think there's anybody in China that doesn't run a business, is there?
Just the teachers, I would guess. But okay. I was an entrepreneurial teacher.
Right. And now,
so, yeah. Yeah, basically the pollution. It's living in Shenzhen near Guangzhou and Guangdong province of China, which is, it's a powerhouse production part, you know, capital area of,
sure,
of China. So living there, and even South Korea, we're still in the industrial era. That's probably 30% of the GDP in South Korea is coming out of the northeast coast area. So Incheon, Ansan, Sihung areas. They call it Gongdan. It's actually Gongdan is a Korean term that refers to a factory zone.
Okay.
So it's difficult. I mean, we have 40 million people living in 100,000 square kilometers. I'm not sure how that fits into southwestern Ontario, but it's not a very big land area.
Right.
And I'm constantly battling the elements in cars and trucks and buses and all kinds of different,
It can make for a little bit
industry plus vehicles.
A little dangerous riding, but I also know there's a lot of beautiful area out there in which for you to ride in. Now, can you discuss a little bit your informal riding group, the Cycling International?
Right. I promote one group. It's Cycling International. The other group is actually called Cycling in Korea. And both groups are on Facebook. So if anyone wants to join, you can find me on Cycling in Korea. And there are members that in that group that are not, actually probably Windsor, there's Windsorites in there as well. Some friends of mine have already invited them. So I put some regular updates in there and then try to invite people to get out on some group tours. It's difficult to get people to organize here. It's everybody's kind of regionally based, and we're all on different teaching schedules. So getting a massive group together is quite difficult, but we do have the critical mass. It's the same as what's happening in North America, and they have it's a real easy pedal. They have it usually in the metropolitan area, and they'll get like 200-400 riders to come together and tour around the city.
Well, that's good stuff. We're gonna take just a quick little break, and we'll be right back and get into one Arctic to Argentina. So just hang on.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
That's right. You're listening to You Talking To Me. I'm your host, Big JD, with Brian Parrish on the line, adventure cyclist, Windsorite, LaSalleite, now in South Korea. And we're going to get into one, Arctic to Argentina 2012. Let's talk about that, Brian.
Okay, excellent. I was just thinking, going over some notes. Another nonprofit organization I wanted to mention, that there's two. The first is, like, this is sort of the reason or the purpose for doing this expedition, raising awareness and getting some community support.
Sure.
And what I'm trying to do is support the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of Canada and also North America, the American one. So Crohn's and Colitis is an autoimmune disease, and it affects, there's probably 1.4 million Americans and about close to 500,000 Canadians that are affected with disease. So that's one foundation, and the other foundation is actually the it's called educationthroughexpeditions.org, and right. That's based in the United Kingdom. So one of my friends is happens to be a Arctic explorer, and now recently he's now a polar explorer. He's been to the North Pole, so he's launched a new nonprofit, and it's to link classrooms around the world to expeditions. So I will be featured on that website and hopefully through some media to grab some UK attention. But it'll be very interesting to partner with him and to share in the expeditions. And it's called Education Through Expeditions,
right?
.org. And on that website, you can find a lot of other expeditions that are currently either currently going on, or these explorers will be doing more. There's Timbuktu, there's Walking the Amazon with Ed Stafford. This guy's like, pretty world-renowned now. He just finished Walking the Amazon for several years.
Wow.
There's also Ripley Davenport, Mongolia. He did a 2010 expedition walking across Mongolia, and he has others coming up. So, and there's also the International Scott Sentry Expedition. So they're all heading down to Antarctica, going back where Scott, the famous British explorer, and his whole party had died on their trip to Antarctica. So they're having a commemorative expedition down there. So if you look on those pages, you'll find me. There's one Arctic to Argentina. So I'm pretty stoked about it right now.
Yeah, and as well, people can find a lot of these links probably from your main site on this, Arctic to Argentina. That's Arctic, the number two, Argentina.com.
Right, and I think, and also maybe the easiest way just to search, because I think a lot of people get lost with these websites, is just my name, just Brian Parrish. If you Google my name, you'll find all these links and some media and links to the Korea Times. I have to thank them for doing an article on me and the Korea broadcast system. I was on their world radio program last
summer. Yeah, it's incredible all the attention that it's gotten. You've really been, the media's taken quite a bit, put a lot of attention to what you're doing. Yeah,
it's been great. It's very early on. I'm still like, I'm still in the pilot stages for even sponsorship, but I have had positive like feedback. Especially last year, I was able to pick up an expedition bicycle from Commuter Bikes in Santa Barbara, California, and then I've had a couple private donors step forward. So I had an American teacher make a private donation here in Korea.
All right.
And I've had a video camera donated. So yeah, slowly I'll accumulate, you know, some items that can be used towards the expedition.
So about the ride itself,
and I have.
Yeah,
what's that?
Just about the ride itself. Now you're riding from the Northern Arctic to Argentina, and how long of a ride is this going to be?
That's a really good question. This trip is, well, the total distance I've just estimated. It's really going to depend on where I'm, you know, going en route. But to just give you a basic fix on it, the I'll be leaving from. I may be flying to Anchorage, Alaska, so it may involve cycling up into the Yukon and then the Northwest Territories, and I will be riding to Inuvik and possibly riding the ice road between Tuktoyaktuk and Inuvik, and then of course turning back south.
Are you just making these names up? Are you making these names up?
Hey, this is Canadian geography, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been studying my maps. So basically, I want to keep this, especially the start of the trip, in a Canadian context.
Right.
So like most people that ride, it's called the Pan-American Highway. Mm-hmm. So it's a trucker's highway for the most part. Probably not the most environmentally friendly road for cyclists, but it's actually it's a tough ride. I'm not going to kid you.
And you're going to be
anyways.
You're going to be hooking up with some others on the way, right?
Yeah, actually, well, there's been different people that, like, I know a lot of people that are doing cycle tours all over. One of my friends is, I call him Slav Vyacheslav. Mm-hmm. He's got an expedition right now. It's called the Recycle Expedition, and he's basically raising awareness for. Keeping the environment clean and recycling and everything, and he's actually cycled around the Mediterranean Sea, and he's been doing that the majority of this year, and he invited me, which was really funny because it's just the way I'm networking with people. But he invited me on that expedition, but unfortunately I'm tied up with a lot of other business here in Korea.
And tell me a little bit about the Lance Armstrong thing.
That's Reno talking about Lance Armstrong.
Okay. I know somehow somebody wants to get you hooked up with Lance Armstrong to ride with you a little bit on this trip.
Oh my God, that would be epic. I would be
awesome.
Flabbergasted.
And I'm hoping to hear about that when you know, maybe we get you to return on the show after your expedition and discuss it again then. Now, so this is some amazing stuff. What are you doing between now and then? I know, what is it, the Mongolian ride there, right?
Yeah, I'm looking into the possibility, which is looking probably very probable for next summer. I'm not doing any Arctic, no Arctic adventures until 2012.
Right.
But next summer, I might fly into Ulaanbaatar, the capital of Mongolia, and then hit the you know, sort of the backcountry and cycle across a portion of it. I'm not sure how far I can go. I'd have to carry a large trailer with water, and it's fairly desertified. It's a very dry landscape. But that offers a lot of opportunity for just honing some survival skills and dealing with local populations. But I think for the most part, I mean, living in Korea and doing the cycling here, I mean, I'm living in a country of, you know, 40 million people, and the vast majority don't speak English. So every day is a negotiation and, you know, getting somewhere or figuring things out. So I speak some, Algesumnida Chokum Hangul. I speak a little Korean. And even yesterday, as an example, I was out cycling with a friend north along the coast. I get a phone call. They're like, Brian, you got a class. You have to come back to the university. And I'm like, you know, 25, 30, about 30 kilometers out.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, and then I turn around, I start hammering back, and I'm going to go teach a university class with cycling clothes on, you know, and so I'm racing back on the highway, mm-hmm. and I couldn't make it. There's just no way. So I skidded. I looked over my shoulder. I saw a pickup truck coming along, and I stopped the bike, jumped off, and started waving this truck down. So I was able to hitch a ride with a farmer and wow. then got into the city limits, and then there was a traffic jam, so I jumped back on the bike and raced through traffic, and then I made it to the class. So anything can happen, like, good example, especially when you're not wearing a watch. I thought it was Sunday, and here it was Monday.
Oh, yeah. So after the...
But I'm on holiday.
Oh, okay. After the...
Okay, I was just going to say we're...
Yep.
You and I are talking. Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a delay talking there. At the same time.
I just want to say or ask you actually, what's the plan after the trip? And with all this, do you have any plans of possibly releasing something on video or maybe doing a little writing?
Right, exactly. Yes, actually, I've hooked up with Mike Beauchamp in Windsor. Mike Beauchamp. He has a website, MikeBeauchamp.com. I've made some initial contact with him. He's been very helpful. He's got a really informative website, also a University of Windsor alumnus, and he cycled across Canada back in 2005 and recorded his trip.
Right.
So I've kind of been looking at his technical setup, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm experimenting. I've built a sort of a long arm tripod that mounts onto the bicycle.
Okay,
and
great.
On there, I will be affixing, you know, a camera, and I'll probably, that's going to be kind of the experimental part, but there's a new, you know, sort of a 170-degree angle, like wide-angle lens. It's made with it's got a Lexan case, and it's called the GoPro, the Hero camera. So it's really popular in motorsports. They use it in surfing. It's waterproof, the case, and it's also used in cycling. So I will probably try to use a camera like that modified with a lead acid battery for, like, because I want to be able to record continuously for long durations of time.
Right. Yeah. That's going
to
be
so,
the trick.
Yeah. There's basically a good chance. There's good a chance to put this into a documentary format and, you know, I want to show people how to do it. I mean, rather than people being timid and thinking, hey, you know what, this is impossible, and maybe that's it, you know, nothing is impossible.
Right. You're the guy that's going to show that that can be done. Listen, we're just about out of time here, so I want to give your website again. That's www.arctictoargentina.com. That's Arctic, the number 2, Argentina.com. And we really appreciate you being on You Talking to Me, Brian, and we look forward to the possibility of talking to you after your trip and seeing how that all went. So...
Or during, you asked me, how long are you going to be on the trip? Just to tell you, it'll be at least 1 year or longer. It could be up to 2 years. So
that's right.
Oh, by all means, hopefully I can, we can visit during the trip somewhere.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you being on the show, and we'll definitely be talking to you and keeping tabs on what happens, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks
Excellent.
A lot, Brian.
Thanks a lot, Big JD.
All right.
All right. Peace.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Jeff from Wilco, and you're listening to CJAM in Windsor, Ontario.